Okay, that's it for my show today. So until we meet again, be kind to one another. Don't let anything get to you. Take it one day at a time and appreciate each day.
On May 29th, Michelle Jimenez was killed by a drunk driver. She left behind her husband and four children. Drinking and driving is a crime that kills abruptly, but the pain lasts forever. Friends, don't let friends drive drunk. A message from the U.S. Department of Transportation, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WMFO in Medford, 91.5 FM, and streaming live worldwide on the web at WMFO.org.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary and Shea Spillane with you until 9 o'clock tonight. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. 855-915-WMFO. Dial that into your phone. Punch it into your Skype. We love to hear from our listeners. Shea Spillane.
Hello. I was going to say, we do indeed enjoy listening to our listeners.
We have both microphones on so far. No no serious technical difficulties on the show.
Dude, knock on some wood. We're like 38 seconds in.
Happy spring.
Yeah, officially.
It's spring.
It was spring as of 6 o'clock tonight.
It's spring and stuff now. So get out there and enjoy. Put your shorts on and go frolic in the streets. Because don't let the below freezing temperatures fool you. It's spring. It's spring.
Oh, to be a Bostonian.
Yeah, spring in Boston. There's nothing quite like it.
What's I love? Somebody walked into the one of the many places I am currently employed. But somebody walked in today just like, and I was like, happy spring, guys.
Yeah. And actually, this afternoon wasn't too bad.
And I mean, I feel like this is how it happens every single time, which is, you know, spring is coming when it's like a day-to-day struggle, but it's up and down and up and down and up and down. And then sooner or later, it'll just be up. Because it was, you know, it was like, we got up to 60 last week.
Yes, we did.
And then like 3 days later, it was 20. And then the next day, it was 40. And it's, you know, we're slowly going up that incline.
Yes, we should be. Knock on wood.
I was going to say, luckily our studio has wood lining around the studio desk. So
we should be done.
Anytime we need to knock on wood, it's readily available.
We should be done with the snow. I feel confident in saying
nobody likes a jinx, D.
We should be done with the snow. So that's a win.
So put that in your pipe and smoke
so
it.
So this is the weekend that you go out and survey the damage that winter did to your home, which in my case is a wall that is falling down as well as a front lamppost that is falling down. So, you know, winter got its licks in, as it always does. Fun.
What? Oh, God, I'll get it for you.
Thank you. I left my Mountain Dew on the windowsill.
And I love that I didn't even, it took one beat to figure out what you were upset about.
I am the worst. Well, it's not.
I was like, what could he be sighing about? Oh, the Mountain Dew's on the windowsill.
It's not even, and I wish it was. I gotta open up this week with a confession.
Oh, God.
Because every...
Do we need more wood to knock on?
Every once in a while, and I would say this probably happens like once every 18 to 24 months, I will get to a point where I look at what's happening, and so many bad things are happening simultaneously.
Yeah.
That I just start asking myself, why bother? Why? And I just want to pack it up and walk away and just say, you know what? It's a lost cause. It's hopeless. There's too much industrial grade stupid floating around out there. And all of my talking, all the talking in the world isn't going to fix this. You know, and it comes from a place of frustration. And if you allow frustration to dominate you, you will never achieve anything. And I get over
it. Other than banging your head against the wall.
I get over it quickly. But this has been one of those weeks. And this goes back to things that happened on Friday, which we will talk about later. Hey. I don't think we're going to get to all of the bad things that were said and done in the past week.
I mean, it's gotten to the point where it's, I almost feel like the universe is challenging us, being like, pick.
Yeah.
Pick 6 of the 40,000 bad things that are going on.
But I, and normally, I mean, you know, I don't come in here and I'm not doom and gloom. We're not a doom and gloom show. You know, we don't come in here and say, oh, it's the end of the world and, you know, all the rest of this. But there have been so many assaults this week that people who care about things like our republic and freedom of speech and democracy should be concerned about. Mm-hmm. And yet I see our mainstream media running wild saying, let's do this and let's do that. And this is why we're doing this. And this is why you shouldn't do that. And it's all garbage. It's just been this wall, this tsunami of garbage that has washed across our front pages and our websites over the course of the last week. And it's frustrating. It is absolutely frustrating because I believe in the strength of our institutions. I believe that our government and our constitution are the best in the world. And I think the fact that we're still around 200 plus years after this thing was founded speaks to that.
What thing? Oh, right, the country.
The fact that we
are...
That
was a joke. I knew what he was talking about.
But the fact that we are the largest nation in the world that can truly call itself a democratic republic speaks to the strength of our institutions and speaks to the strength of our constitution and speaks to the strength of our way of life. And then I see all these people coming out of the woodwork saying, hey, let's get rid of it. Let's throw it away. Are you crazy? Do you want to be Russia? Do you want to be Brazil? Do you want to be Cuba?
Well, the funny thing about our country is that we are short, you know, sparing a few small countries. We are one of the youngest countries in the world. And it's...
There's about 70 African nations that would like to have a word with you about that statement. But
we're one of the youngest developed countries in the world.
All right, that's fair.
And... I mean, I think since the get-go, we've had a bit of pomposity about us of like, this is totally going to work.
Oh, yeah.
And, I remember when I lived, but I'm about to sound snotty for a moment. When I lived in Europe, but when I lived in Italy, most of my friends were Dutch because they were, you know, Dutch people are cool and they speak English.
Right. Now, when were you living in Italy?
This was in 2009.
So you are...
So this is 10 years ago.
So it's 10 years ago. You are about 40 years removed from fascist rule.
Yes.
In Italy. And Italy, by that point in time, has had its recoil against fascism and then calmed down into what it is today, which is a barely functioning democracy.
Which is like, whatever.
Yeah. I'm not trying to drag the Italians, but guys,
I mean,
you could do a better job running the country, is all I'm saying.
But Luini is delicious.
Yes.
I mean, if you ever go to Italy, Luini, look it up. Luini. That can get it.
I love Italy. I adore Italian culture. I am a huge fan of Italian cinema. People know this. But Italy is one of those countries where when you look at the way its government runs, you sit there and you're like, how do you sustain this? Other than the fact that the average Italian really can't be bothered by any of it.
I would say, dude, I lived there.
Yeah.
Do you know what my conclusion from living there was? Great place to visit, terrible place to live. If it was raining, the bus just wouldn't run.
Yeah.
I went to the post office. You think going to the post office in the United States is annoying? I went to the post office. I was there for 3.5 hours.
God.
And they couldn't figure out the address that I had very, very, very clearly written on the box I was sending. I was like, the United States of America. Stati Uniti, si?
Stati Uniti.
But what I was going to say, though, is I remember I was at lunch with one of my Dutch friends. It was funny. She was like, oh, my God, I found a place that I think you'd really like. That's not what she sounded like at all. It's my like, oh, my God, I found a place that it sounds like you'd...
Dutch woman. She's not like, oh, my God, I found a place that I think you would like.
But she brought me to a place called New York Burger and Bagel. I was like, yeah, I totally moved to Europe so that I could eat knockoff American food.
Hey.
That's why I'm here. But I remember sitting in New York Burger and Bagel with her and having her say, so I have to ask you, why is your country one country? And I was like, ooh, you're going to have to elaborate. She said, well, it's just you all seem like very different people. Hmm. And this was around the time that the EU was forming. So I said, dude, like, Europe is doing exactly what we have right now. Like, you guys are uniting. It's the European Union. And I was very, like, defiant and kind of, like, thrown aback by what she said. But if you told my 22-year-old self the state of things in our country would be today, I might have not lashed out at her as much.
Yeah.
Because she did, like, it's weird because, like I said, at the time I was just like, screw you. Like, you guys are copying us right now. Hey, want to go to McDonald's later? There's one on every block.
Right. Well, except that they were trying to do it without giving up any sovereignty, which is part of the reason that things are failing.
Yeah. But it does... And I'm not saying that we necessarily should be multiple countries, or I don't think each state should be a country, because that would just be bonkers.
I'm happy to let California secede.
I always say that we should take the West Coast and like slap it on the side of the northern part of the East Coast, and then like kind of bring Chicago and toss that in there somewhere, and the rest of you can just kind of do your own thing.
No, there's Canada up there, and Canada's nice.
Oh, no, I'm saying in terms of our country.
Oh.
But I know what you mean. Like, when I got the right to vote when I was 18, so that would have been in 2000, I think the first election I voted in was 2008. Or 2004, actually, I'm sorry. I did not picture having so much to think about.
Yeah, we've gone off the deep end very, very rapidly in this country. Faster. I'm hearing things said that I never imagined I would hear said in my lifetime. And that's where the frustration comes from. Now, of course, in that situation, all you can do is continue to cling to what you believe, mm-hmm. be a beacon of truth for those around you. Understand that we are all, every last one of us, no matter what your race, religion, color, creed, etc., is, we are all frightened fellow travelers on the road to the grave, and that we should treat each other accordingly. You know, understand that we're all basically upset about something all the time because we all know that we're going to die, and that it forces us to act irrationally sometimes. When it becomes a problem is when you have large numbers of people acting irrationally, enabled by a news media that seems to have collectively lost its mind. And that seems to be where we're at right now. We're going to delve into some aspects of that. Right off the top, right now, I'm going to tell you, some of what we're going to get into tonight is going to be harsh. All right? I don't say that to scare you off. I say that just so that you know.
Just setting up your expectations.
Some of what we talk about tonight is going to be goofy and fun. So, you know, we're going to mix it up a little bit. But there are some harsh realities that need to be discussed at some point. I trust that everybody listening knows what happened in the past week and can guess some of the places where we're going to go.
Yep.
We always tell you at the start of every segment what it's going to be. So, you know, if you have to get up and go away for 15 minutes and then come back, that's understandable. Community will not be one of our issues. Our local news will not be one of those things that you need to worry about. Unless you want to be really annoyed at your neighbors. So, Shay, what do we got?
Locally. Oh, just tossing it right off the bat. The Boston man, this actually hits a bit close to home. But the Boston man accused of kidnapping and repeatedly raping a woman in January appeared in court today. According to ABC Boston, Victor Pena, who's 38, was indicted by a Suffolk County grand jury on one count of kidnapping and 10 counts of aggravated rape. I hate saying that phrase, for allegedly holding a 23-year-old woman against her will and sexually assaulting her at his Walford Way home. The woman luckily was found alive, as many of us know, and was reunited with her family. He is being held without bail pending a dangerousness hearing. I didn't even know that was a thing that is scheduled for next month, and I have two lawyers in my family. This is the really disturbing part. All of it's disturbing, but the thing that I was just like, ugh. Prosecutor said the victim told police that he forced her to drink copious amounts of alcohol and fed her nothing but canned pineapple. He also allegedly took multiple selfies of himself, of her, and of him with her. They plan to use the photos as evidence in the case.
Yeah.
This, for those of you who don't remember, this was the girl that was kidnapped at Hennessy's.
Yep.
I talk all the time about my best friends are in a band that plays at Hennessy's quite frequently. And it was the night after they played. And it was a big thing in the music community because they were like, we don't want people that come out to hear us to have to deal with this.
Right.
And especially in the wake of what happened a couple weeks ago.
Now, in this particular case, it was not the fault of the bar. It was not the fault of the neighborhood. She was actually intercepted by a disturbed individual at an MBTA station.
Yeah, she was just trying to go home.
Would it kill the MBTA? I understand they have to keep raising the fares cutting the employees. Would it kill the MBTA to have some T-cops in the stations around the nightclubs on Fridays and Saturdays so that things like this don't happen? Well, would that be hard for them to... I guess it would. Can't afford that, and we just... rape and potential murder is the price you're going to pay for going to a club in Boston.
Well, and I think about the fact that it doesn't even have to be MBTA. I mean, when I was in college, and mind you, I went to college in the Bronx, so...
You're going to take security a little more seriously.
You don't think of Boston as being a place where you have to worry about being abducted.
Yeah.
But we had, it was rent-a-cops. There was a shuttle to the subway, to the Metro North, back to campus, near all the bars and things like that. It wouldn't even be like you'd have to have actual police force there. There's something about, it's the... I guess it's glorified safety in numbers, or beyond that, it's just people are less likely to do something. It feels like inappropriate is too light a word, but people are less likely to do something abhorrent, I guess is a more appropriate word, when they feel they're being watched.
Right.
Even if it's not by a police officer, even if it's just by a sober, uniformed human being.
But here's the thing with the MBTA stations. What you describe works, okay? But it works only to the extent that people are willing to take advantage of those services. It doesn't do anything for the person who just got into a fight or has, had a little too much to drink and is being belligerent and decides they're going to go off on their own. Mm. And the MBTA is presented to us continually as a safe form of transportation. The T is safe. Ride the T. The T is great. So a woman by herself on the MBTA should be safe.
Yeah.
If she is not safe, then we have a problem. And the way that you fix that problem is you have an MBTA officer in the station keeping an eye on what's going on so that when Mr. I Like to Rape People shows up and tries to abduct her, he is there to intervene.
Oh, I hope that's on his uniform name tag.
Well, it should be because this guy's a loser. You know, I feel confident in saying that.
I'm okay with that label.
Yeah. But that's what should be happening. I mean, it's, you know, they'll sit there and they'll be like, oh, we have video cameras. Well, video cameras don't stop the woman.
They just help after the horrible thing has happened to this innocent girl.
And thank God she lived. I mean, that's...
I still remember... I mean, you know, I don't really watch the news just because I'd rather go to, as we discussed before, I'd rather go to 10 different news sites and kind of find the truth in the middle. So I'd rather not just sit and watch like ABC or NBC or what have you. But that was one of the few times I was just glued to the news just to see what happened.
Because
the day the story broke, my mom's the one that told me about it. And I was like, yeah, she's probably dead. She's probably in the Mystic or the Charles.
That's what we expect.
Yeah.
That's what we expect.
And I wasn't being cynical and I wasn't, you know, being crass. I was just being realistic.
Have 24 hours gone by?
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, once 24 hours go by, you're just basically like, well,
yeah,
there's a reason we haven't heard anything.
Jazzy Correa. Okay.
Just exactly.
A month later. You know, it's 24 hours go by. Yep. She's dead within time.
Yeah. But that's like, I was glued just because usually, like, I think the thing with Jessica is it's this, you know, within, I think it was, 72 hours?
Yeah.
We had it was like, there's a body in a trunk. And I mean, I'm sorry, I don't mean to speak so bluntly about it, but because it is horrible. But the fact that nothing like that came up in this story is what kept me glued to the news every day, because I was just like, there's, especially in a place like Boston, where we're the town of Whitey Bulger, you know, like we're used to knowing where to look for the bodies, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to conceal a corpse in the city of Boston.
Absolutely.
It really is. It's a small town.
Yeah, it's a small town, and with the places that one would hide a corpse, like I said, Whitey, he exhausted all of the clever places to hide something. But just when I found out she was alive, I mean, I felt like my heart was going to break my sternum. And I'm so glad this guy is being brought to justice. But this poor girl, especially, I mean, she's with her sister. Can you imagine the guilt her sister must feel?
I mean, the thing to understand, that's a tough one. You shouldn't feel guilty because someone chooses to go off on their own.
Yeah, I was going to say, but you can't help but.
But.
It's almost like a different warped version of survivor's guilt.
If you are going to go into Boston and drink on a weekend and you are a woman, you need to understand that these clubs are a soft target for sexual predators.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They know there's going to be a lot of women hanging around here. They know
A lot of them are going to be drinking.
Women are going to be intoxicated, and they are like any other kind of predator. Okay? Lions don't go after the strongest members of the herd. They pick off the stragglers.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody goes off on their own. So you should do everything in your power to keep people together and to keep people from going off on their own with anyone that you don't know.
Buddy system, y'all.
Yeah. That's a concrete step that you can take to keep yourself safe. At the same time, if someone is hellbent on going off on their own, there's only so much that you're going to do. You know, if it's somebody saying, I want to go home, and you're like, no, I'm still ready to party. It's like, you can probably feel guilty in that situation. But if it's somebody who's hellbent on no, I don't care, I'm going home, I've had enough of you people, just leave me alone, and storms off into the night, different situation.
Yeah, bad things can happen.
Yeah, and really, you know, in that situation, what I recommend is you send someone to trail that person and make sure that they get home safely. That's what we used to do back in the day when people stormed off. Somebody would be like,
somebody just go make sure they get in a cab or something.
I'm going to go either get them in a cab, or I'm going to follow them home and make sure that they get home safely, and I'll be back in an hour, or whatever it is. You know, that's not a hard thing to do.
No.
You need to look out for each other, and you need to understand that even though the city of Boston is generally safe, you are in a dangerous place because there are a lot of people roaming around, some with bad intentions, some who are perfectly willing to act on those bad intentions. Twice in a month, we've had it happen.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, Boston is absolutely, it's a major city. Yeah. Like, if you look at Google Maps and like go around the world and like spin it about, Boston is one of the cities that pops up. We're not like some small, oh my God, how could this happen here town? But at the same time, we're small enough that you don't really, like, growing up, I would always expect like 19 bar brawls over this happening once.
Right.
You know, like you, and that's because Irishmen love whiskey.
Yeah,
but
Lord knows we get plenty of that around here. We have Irish people.
But it's a matter of like, you don't, like, this is the sort of thing you think about happening in, like I said, in the Bronx,
yeah,
or like, you know, in Detroit, but even in South Philly, or like, you don't think about this happening in Boston.
Even the Bronx that you were in the 2000s was nothing like the Bronx that I was in the late 1980s.
Oh, I believe you.
when everything was still burned out and, you know, every abandoned car in the city seemed to find its way up there.
And everyone was smoking crack.
Everybody's smoking crack. You went to sleep every night to the sound of gunfire.
I mean, I still did that when I lived in the Bronx, but like a more like kind of soothing, muddled gunfire.
Yeah, but it wasn't like, it wasn't constant.
It only was when I lived on Webster Avenue, which was a huge mistake.
Yeah, Webster Avenue is.
Hey, they placed me in that dorm.
That's kind of where everybody goes to shoot each other.
Yeah, you know? And to set off each other's car alarms. Yeah. It got to the point where, like, that's why it's driving me crazy living in the burbs now. I'm used to falling asleep to just like terrifying noises.
So quiet.
And I'm like, crickets? Yeah. Seriously?
It's usually this quiet only after the gunfire.
And then it goes,
I am going to call for the reinstatement of the stocks. You remember the stocks, Shay?
The thing where you like put your hands in your head, yes, and you're stuck?
Yeah.
If you go down
to Plymouth Plantation, they will put you in the stocks.
Oh, yes. Actually, my brother thought it would be hilarious to leave me there. Thanks, Danny.
I think they used to have them in front of the old State House in Boston, back when it was the State House and not the old State House. Mm-hmm. I would like to see the Boston City Council take up a resolution to put them back and to start using them again because of this story, courtesy of CBS Boston.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so excited.
Several memorials, including one dedicated to fallen police officers, have been vandalized at Mount Hope Cemetery in Mattapan. The vandalism was reported to Boston police on Tuesday. Detectives are in the early stages of the investigation and are looking for the public's help to identify the person responsible. Police say additional vandalized memorials include the Civil War, Spanish-American War, World War I and World War II, Knights of Columbus, and Freemasons memorials.
I would say a couple of them are in Southie.
On Monday, a similar case of vandalism was reported at the World War II Memorial at Castle Island. State police are conducting their own separate investigation into that damage. This is not just your garden variety of vandalism. Someone is splashing oil onto these memorials. The thing about oil and stone monuments and granite monuments and concrete monuments, it cannot be removed.
I would say you can't wash it off.
Someone over at MIT will figure this out, I believe, because they're clever.
I'm working on Saturday. I'll see if I can pick some brains.
Whoever is doing this needs to be caught immediately and thrown in the stocks. And everyone in the city of Boston can feel free to come down and huck cabbage at them, because this is the most disgusting, deplorable thing a person could do. You are desecrating a place meant to honor our noble dead. Whether you think they are our noble dead or not, the vast majority of people in our community appreciate the fact that we have monuments to people who sacrificed themselves for others.
Well, and that's the thing. It's basically, I mean, it's like desecrating a gravestone for hundreds, thousands of people. And beyond that too, I mean, I could see if it was just Civil War ones, you know what I mean? Like, if you're a white supremacist, I'm not legitimizing it, but I'm saying like, I'm a white supremacist, like, I should like mess with everything that's about the Civil War because we should still have slavery. But to do it for things that, like, I mean, the two world wars, like that.
Yeah.
All that had to do with was saving lives.
Yeah.
Like, and preventing further damage.
Yeah, we were trying to stop Hitler from imposing his will on the world.
Yeah, like
World
we were War trying II. To keep ourselves from speaking German or Japanese.
Yeah.
Like, and trust me, I've tried to speak both. It's English, easy compared.
Ach, liebe Schwang.
Yet. but, and honestly, like, I think that my take on this, and it's funny because I was actually, like, when I was picking my local story, I stand by the one I chose, but at the same time, I was like, there's something I read in the news yesterday that I really wanted to include, and I forgot to email it to myself, and this was the story, because I've been involved in the lobbying side of politics for most of my adult life, and not because it was trendy, just because it was something I was actually passionate about. But now it is actually trendy. Like, it is just cool to make some kind of political statement, regardless of if you even know the political statement you're making. And that's what this feels like. Is I can't.
Oh yeah, this is definitely somebody with an axe to grind.
There's no cohesion to it. Are you just anti-war? Well, guess what? War is a part of life. It's been a part of life since humankind began. Since the first caveman threw a rock at the other caveman.
If I look at the timing of this and I look at the selection of targets here, I could surmise, and I reserve the right to be thoroughly and completely 180 degrees wrong on this, but I can surmise
as you usually do.
That this is somebody with an axe to grind against white men. And the fact that the police
memorial... So you mean everyone who isn't a white man?
The fact that the police memorial was targeted, as well as a World War II memorial in Southie, known as being one of the whiter parts of the city of Boston, provides an intriguing connection to me. I could be entirely wrong about this, but if I'm a cop, I'm going to be considering that as a possible motive here.
But see, that's my point, is that there's... I feel like I'm like admonishing this person for being like, your act of vandalism should be more cohesive. Yeah. But that's my point, is that it's like, okay, yeah, that's a totally valid theory or hypothesis about the thought process behind this. But there's like 9 other ones you could come up with based on like the connect, like it could be against anyone in a uniform.
Oh, absolutely.
It could be, you know what I mean? Like it's
this could be Antifa.
This just this just seems like setting a fire and walking away. You know, like it seems like somebody just, whoever did this or whatever individuals. I can't imagine this is one person's act.
No, it is, because these attacks are so similar.
But that's what I'm saying.
It really looks like it's a low information millennial is what we're dealing with here.
But it could be like 4 of them that are, oh, you two are the lookout. You're the one that's going to sit in the car in case the cops come. You know what I mean? Like, I'm saying there is definitely, it's a similar MO each time. Absolutely. But I mean, this seems like millennials that are like, you're right. You're absolutely right that this is someone in their early to mid 20s. Who is just looking for a cause because it's cool.
Yeah, whoever it is, into the stocks with you. And that should be your punishment. And we can come and throw our rotten cabbage at you and let that serve as a lesson to anybody else who might think about, not in the sense that you should be violently assaulted, but in the sense that you should be publicly humiliated for doing this.
Oh, and do you know what will make it worse?
Because you are a horrible, horrible person.
Do you know what will make it worse? When they're in the stocks, I'm just going to stand there for 6 hours straight and explain to them what it's like to actually be passionate about a political issue.
Yeah.
And not just be a dum-dum that throws oil and basically farts on thousands, hundreds of thousands, maybe probably with, I'm trying to encapsulate all of millions of people who gave up their life so that you could even access oil.
Yeah.
you dumb dumb.
And that's the thing that's disturbing. I mean, if somebody had gone in and just spray painted something on it, that's bad.
I wouldn't say that, but that, like you said, it wouldn't bother me as much because you can get rid of spray paint off of concrete pretty easily.
Whoever is doing this has figured out a way to permanently destroy a memorial. That, we cannot have this. We cannot have this. And anyone who knows who is responsible for this and is not
come forward
and is not telling the police, oh, you know, Joe Smith did this, you are also guilty. You are also responsible for this. And you deserve to be arrested as well and also thrown in the stocks and have cabbage tossed at your head. Rotten cabbage, I think, was what they used back in the day.
Please be rotten.
It was rotten cabbage that they would throw at people. They'd bring out their rotten fruits and throw them at the people in the stocks. How could anyone sit by and abide this?
That's the thing. Is like there have been acts of quote unquote vandalism that have been like, huh, yeah, okay. Like when I lived in LA, that artist put canvases over the Hollywood sign to make it say Hollyweed.
Yeah, I love a good creative act of vandalism.
That was a wonderful and impermanent act of vandalism.
I think Banksy is our greatest living artist right now.
Yes. Okay. Oh my God.
I have no problem.
Banksy can get it.
I have no problem with people with spray paint.
Wordsmith too. I love Wordsmith.
I have a problem if you're throwing paint on the Christopher Columbus statue or you're throwing red paint on the police memorial statue because, again, you are desecrating a memorial to the dead. Stop doing that.
Well, and on top of that, and again, obviously number one reason it's stupid is what you just said. Number two reason, all right, you want to make a statement? The Hollywood sign's a perfect example. The Hollywood sign is 30 feet high on the top of a mountain. And that person had to go through a lot to plan and execute that.
And you're not even allowed to go up there.
You're not. They had to break fences and stuff.
And there's mountain lions.
A freaking 3-year-old could throw oil on a statue.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to make a political statement, make an actual, even the sheer fact that we're debating what it could possibly be about, it is proof positive that it's utter nonsense.
Yeah. I don't care what your message is. I don't care what you have to say. I want you taken off the street and I want you identified. And
it would be so much fun if we had the stocks. Now I really want us to get them back.
I want to know how somebody could go that badly wrong. I really do.
Wait,
I got one. I got one more. I got a bonus because
you get a bonus. Oh, that's how ridiculous the news has been.
I can't let this one go. Again,
when have you ever in the history of being Derek Gary let anything go?
Again, from CBS Boston. Boston Mayor Marty Walsh is set to propose several transportation changes Thursday. This was last Thursday. He already announced this. Including one that will create pickup spots for Uber and Lyft rides in the city. All right, fine, whatever you want to do.
Oh, I already see the slippery slope. This is going down.
Also included in Walsh's overall transportation improvement proposal, a move to lower the speed limit on city streets from 25 to 20 miles per hour.
Nope. Oh, best of luck enforcing that.
Mayor Walsh, I have a question for you. And my question for you is this. Where in the city of Boston is it possible to drive 25 miles an hour? Where? Where can I do this? Not in the North End, not in the South End, not in the Seaport, not in the Back Bay.
Not on 93 sometimes.
Not on Beacon Hill. Not in Dorchester. Where in the city of Boston can anybody drive 25 miles an hour?
And
the only time you're going to see a car going that fast is when you got people doing jackrabbit starts to try and beat the next light on Beacon Street or Commonwealth Avenue or Washington Street or whatever hellish traffic cycle nightmare you find yourself in.
Well, and second question. You know what your citizens are like, right? You really think that you can enforce a speed limit reduction?
You don't have to.
We ignore it already. We're just going to ignore it 5 miles per hour more.
Maybe Melnia Cass Boulevard on a Sunday morning, you could get up to 25 miles an hour. That is the only place in the city I could imagine driving that fast.
I just weave through all of them at 50.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, what are you talking about? Just
like, of all the things that are happening, like, could you focus on the fact that chicks keep getting kidnapped and raped? Maybe. You know what? There haven't been that many accidents lately. Maybe toss that on the back burner.
I'll tell you what. I want a list from the mayor of streets in the city of Boston where you can drive, where it is possible to achieve a speed of 25 miles an hour between the traffic and the lights.
I would say that's the irony is the speed limit on like Calm and Mass are probably 30 or maybe in some parts of Mass it's 40.
Yeah.
No one ever gets to that. You're right. Like, whenever I go past Mass General, like up Mass Ave,
oh God,
I just basically think to myself, like, you're not going to see that speedometer go above 20. No. Like, it's just not.
No.
It is not. It's happen.
If you've been in a car in Boston in the last couple of years, you know that you're sitting there realizing that you could walk faster to wherever it is that you're trying to go.
Literally this morning, I was on Columbia Road driving through Dorchester, which the speed limit, by the way, I believe is 40. And a pedestrian passed me on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
And I just looked at them like, can I just toss my car on your back?
So
like,
here's my challenge.
It's pretty small.
Here's my challenge to Mayor Walsh. I will 100% get on board your plan to reduce city speed limits from 25 to 20. If you can give me a list of places in Boston where it's possible to go 25 miles an hour, give me that list. Show me where I might be able to drive 25, and I'll agree with you that we have a problem because I spent a lot of time in Boston, and Lord knows I have never driven faster than 20 in that damn city. Not in years.
Oh, man. It is fun when you do, like, that's why I always cut through Dorchester when I have to go on 93, and I love getting off at that point in Columbia Circle just like, my car is going faster than 5.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
this is so exciting.
Exactly.
Well, keeping the good moods going, in national news, President Trump has continued his fun recent habit of speaking illy of former senator and 2008 presidential candidate John McCain, even after his death. According to NBC News, Trump was quoted at the White House yesterday saying, "I was never a fan of John McCain and I never will be." That followed a weekend Twitter tirade in which Trump identified quote unquote stains on McCain's record that included his vote against repealing Obamacare and his role in forwarding a dossier on Trump to the FBI, which the president inaccurately said had happened before Election Day.
It did, actually.
No, it didn't.
Oh, no.
It happened just after.
I thought that happened in September. Mm-mm. Am I wrong about that?
It was mid to late November.
Okay. All right. Because somebody handed the dossier to somebody in September.
It was like somebody who's kind of, no offense to whoever you are, but somebody who's kind of that did it before the election. And then John McCain, I keep wanting to say John McClain. John McCain.
Yippee-ki-yay.
They stop that right there. We do not need any more. I mean, any FCC fines. This isn't even a political thing. This is a general human decency thing.
Usually when he does this, usually when one of these things comes out, he's trying to deflect attention away from something else.
Yeah, but like, this is the worst way to do it. And like, get your nose pierced, Donald.
Yeah, but
show us that.
I don't even know.
That's less offensive.
I don't even know what he's trying to deflect attention from. You know, it's not like anything's.
Would you like it bullet pointed or numbered?
No, but it's not. It's inevitably something in the moment. You know, it's not like anything's happened in the Mueller investigation other than it's still going on.
I would say other than it's. Continuing.
He didn't get any legislative setbacks over the weekend. There aren't any, you know, big
I love that we're at a place in our government where it's like, hey, over the weekend when they don't even convene, Trump didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah. It's just, it's weird to me that he's coming out with this now. And I don't know, you know, they, look, the guy is at times wildly erratic and gets hung up on something. And he's like shaking his fist at the sky. And and the rest of us have to sit here and deal with it and be like, what are you talking about? Like, what, guy's dead. Maybe Trump's the one throwing the oil on the memorials here in Boston.
Honestly, that would make so much sense.
That is the verbal.
That might be the most sensible explanation that I've heard for that happening.
I will support installing the stocks at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue and putting the president in them, and we can all come down and throw our rotten cabbage.
Oh, wouldn't it be cool if they were through the gates on the White House lawn,
yeah,
and he just had to stick his head out there, like over the, what's the thing across? I think it's just called the Great Lawn, right?
Yeah.
The like park across from it. The park. That's where the rally to restore sanity / incite fear.
Either that or
I went. It was fun.
You know what'd be good? You know that Dunk the Clown thing at the carnival?
Oh yeah, where you have to throw the ball and hit the button,
yeah,
and then it,
like, put the president like in the up above the tank. And then he's just sitting there, like, saying things and reading his tweets, and people are trying to throw balls to knock him into the water.
Even better, if we somehow were able to have him have the similar characteristics of Pinocchio, and the buzzer is in front of him, and then every time he lies, his nose grows, and then finally he says enough lies that it pushes the buzzer and he falls in.
Well, that's if that were possible, yes. But I'm dealing in...
Oh, yeah, because it's way more possible for us to get Donald Trump on a dunk tank.
Hang on a second. I'm not done yet. I think I could get Donald Trump to agree with this, because... It is
Do you want me to give him your number?
It is $10 a ball.
Or vice versa.
It is $10 a ball to try and dunk the president. Okay, so every time you want to throw, it's 10 bucks. All of the money collected.
I was saying, the deficit's gone now.
All of the money collected will be used to build his border wall.
Wait, so you're telling me that the Mexican government is going to be the one that's throwing the balls? Because they're who's supposed to pay for it,
you know,
right?
What we could do? We could drive busloads of Mexicans into Washington, D.C., and then Donald Trump could say the Mexicans paid for the wall.
I think they'd probably be aiming more for his head and less for the button.
These are solutions, my friends. We are putting forward
solutions. I'm good either way, honestly.
Mr. President.
Throw it at his head.
Get in that dunk tank.
6 to 1, half dozen to another.
I want the president in the dunk tank now. I'm 100% on board.
Like, now that it's a picture in my brain, I like need to see it come to fruition.
Yeah,
like,
this would be awesome.
That's a pretty brilliant.
Sit there
idea.
And you know, because the clown sits there and insults people. Just read your tweets. Just say things about John McCain, and people will be well, like, I just look at this and I'm like, why?
What are you doing?
You're the leader of the free world. John McCain has been dead for a year.
Yeah.
Let it go.
And he was in the Hanoi Hilton.
Let it go. The guy
lost the presidency. He was a respected senator.
He's a national hero.
He was in one of the historically worst military prisons that you can possibly be in. And in like a really tiny cell. And his head's big. I always picture him trying to, like, bat through the top of his cell.
Yeah.
But, like, well, and even if, this thing is, like, everything we just said is true, even if none of it was true, even if he was just some dum-dum who got grandfathered in, like, and by grandfathered in, I mean Kennedy style, just like, oh, of course I'm going to be a senator, because bleh. If that was the case... You still don't dance on someone's grave like that.
Like, what are you trying
to achieve?
Like, what
are you getting... Exactly. What are you getting out of talking smack about a dead man? Like, you are the only one that cares about this. It's... The point was moot the minute... Not the dial. I was going to say the dial tone. The minute the heart monitor went...
The only thing I can think of... The only conclusion I can come to about this is that every now and again, Donald Trump's brain quiets down enough for a thought.
Wait, he has thoughts?
To blow through it like a tumbleweed on the Great Plains. And his thoughts, his most recent thoughts, happened to be the fact that he was still annoyed at John McCain. That's the only justification I could give anybody for this. This is dumb.
I mean, I'm still annoyed that jerk Jesse ripped up the super cool thing I drew in kindergarten, but I'm not going to tweet for 20 tweets about it.
This is dumb. You're the president. Please stop. This is why people hate you.
And ipso facto end up hating us.
Yes. Please.
As a country.
Please
like,
stop.
I hate that there is one human being that makes the rest of the world hate all of us.
Oh, no, no, no. There's plenty of people overseas that like us, and we'll get into that later. No why. There's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather. Your five-day Boston forecast. You missed the equinox. It already happened. So it's almost 2 hours into spring right now. So,
say,
you know, spring.
Guys, like, why aren't you wearing shorts yet?
Spring kids, get your shorts on. Get your t-shirts out. Go frolic. Temperatures in the mid-30s tonight. Go frolic anyway. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, high around 50 degrees. Lows in the low 40s tomorrow night. Friday, going to be spring-like. There are different kinds of spring weather, Shay. This is one kind of spring weather that we get. Wind, rain, and a high around 50 degrees. So warm, but windy. Temperatures fall back into the mid-30s Friday night. Saturday, the showers end in the morning. Highs in the mid-40s. Lows in the mid-30s. And then Sunday, spring. Sunny skies, high in the mid-50s. That's what you call a winter. Kids, that's when you get in the car, drive down to Castle Island, get yourself some Sullivan's because they are open for the season. Then we fall back into the 40s, low 40s on Sunday night. So general trend is toward spring.
I wouldn't say like spring, but like teaser spring.
No, like real seasonal, like mid-50s weather.
No, mama wants a 6-0 up there.
Rain. We're going to get a lot of rain. That's
April showers bring May flowers.
Well, these are March showers, and I'm wondering where the lamb is. If anyone has seen a lamb, like we're looking for one.
Mary's lamb?
No, like
the little one?
No, like March in like a lion, out like a lamb.
I have literally never heard that in my entire life.
You are such a millennial.
Excuse me, I just said April showers bring May flowers. That's from like the 20s.
Yes, well, so is in like a lion, out like a lamb.
Maybe it's just some nerdy thing nerds know.
Nope. It's a folk saying, and you're a cell phone obsessed Becky with a good hair millennial. And there we go. 855-915-9636. It is the big picture. When we come back, more on what's going on around the world. 9 o'clock tonight on the Talent Mikey D. Everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. This next gentleman spent some time in Boston and unfortunately passed away during the past week. One of the greatest guitarists of all time has left us. And I am reminded that I have to skip ahead in this a couple of seconds because this is the Pulp Fiction version with all of the dirty words at the start.
But I love dirty words.
And I'll execute!
Oh, yeah, that one.
Yeah, that one.
Oh, that's such a good scene.
Remembering Dick Dale's WMFO Midford.
The next time you're buying bacon, look through that window on the package. I'm Sarah Beck, Consumer Meat Specialist for the U.S. Department of Agriculture. All bacon packages must have a transparent window so you can see a representative slice. And chances are, if you check the window, you can get the kind of bacon you like. Bacon with a high proportion of lean is obviously a better buy. Bacon with the lean distributed as streaks throughout the slice will be more attractive and crisper when cooked.
I'm going to the hardware store.
Oh, will you pick up 800 lumen bulbs?
800 more flowers? The neighbors will think we're wacky.
Not flower bulbs, light bulbs.
Come on, Dad. Lumens tell you how bright the bulb is. We can replace our 60-watt bulbs with energy-saving bulbs that give off about 800 lumens.
So, we'll save money.
Right.
Got it. 800 lumens and more savings.
Lumens, the new way to shop for light. Learn more at energysavers.gov.
WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. You are listening to The Big Picture. I am Shay Spillane. With me, as always, is the illustrious Derek Gary.
Hello there.
We're going to be here with you till 9 o'clock. If you'd like to give us a call and chime in, we always love when people do that. You can do that at 855-915-WMFO.
Just to follow up on your topic before the break, where we were talking about Donald Trump, a caller just let me know that they'd read that Cindy McCain is getting hate mail because of this.
I'm gonna throw up on my microphone. Yeah,
Donald Trump goes out and says this stupid nonsense. The tumbleweed rolls through his head, and his mouth starts going, and his Twitter thumbs start going, and Cindy McCain is getting that.
And your brain begins to hurt.
Please stop, Mr. President. You really shouldn't have to say this as an American citizen, but please stop, Mr. President. No one needs this. This does no good
like
for anybody.
Even Nixon was more, we didn't have to shake our heads as much.
That's horrifying.
Yeah.
That's horrifying. Absolutely horrifying.
I'm stating a fact right now. Yeah. don't stop dancing on people's graves, Jesus.
So, thank you for that piece of information from our listeners. I hate to hear this.
Yeah, they made us hate that story even more.
This is just another reason for me to be upset at this week.
I was going to say, you and I both just kind of walked in like, yeah, you read the news too.
Here's some fun from Fox News.
I already know this is not going to be fun at all.
Normally, I am not going to go with Fox News as a source.
I mean, sometimes last week I did, which I'm the least likely person ever to reference Fox News.
Broken clock is right twice a day. We will remember this. California GOP Representative Devin Nunes. The reason I'm using them as a source is because they're one of the few that actually got out in front of this story. California GOP Rep. Devin Nunes filed a major lawsuit seeking $250 million in compensatory damages and $350,000 in punitive damages. I believe whoever wrote this got that backwards. $350,000 compensatory and $250 million in punitive would be normal. Against Twitter and a handful of its users Monday, accusing the social media site of, quote, shadow banning conservatives, end quote, to secretly hide their posts, systematically censoring opposing viewpoints, and totally ignoring lawful complaints of repeated abusive behavior. In a complaint filed in a Virginia state court on Monday, obtained by Fox News, that's why they're out in front of it, Nunes claimed Twitter wanted to derail his work on the House Intelligence Committee, which he chaired until 2019, as he looked into alleged and apparent surveillance abuses by the government.